This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to G&D here on The Fan. No GP this week. Tobes is in and hanging out. We are partying hard. Jacob Chirkin will join the show in a matter of moments. A special greetings to those of you listening on 106.7 The Fan here in the D.C. area. And a hi, what up? How you guys doing? Richmond. Thanks for checking out the show. Listen, anywhere around these parts, around the world, in fact, on the old Odyssey app, come hang with us. Super quick, Tobes, right now, like to ask us during the commercial breaks, bring it to the airwaves. Anything in the world best quality you would eat right now is?
This is a go-to for me. Yep. Prime rib.
You do prime rib.
Prime rib.
What's your side?
A little raw horseradish with it, some au jus.
Yeah, a little au jus.
And then I'll go mashed potatoes.
A little mashed potato side. Lumpy mashed potatoes, kind of homemade. How would you do it?
Yeah, homemade. Homemade, let's do it.
A little bit lumpy.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of butter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Darius, anything in the world to eat you could eat right now? What are you eating?
Oh, man, put me on the spot. Yep. I would go with a nice Philly cheesesteak right now.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
Sesame seed roll, regular roll?
Let's do regular roll.
Okay.
We're going to have onions,
yep.
green peppers on
yep.
it.
Western.
I'm definitely going to have some good mayo on there.
Okay.
Cheese, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Let's do provolone. I'm feeling provolone cheese
good
right
answer,
now.
Good answer. Okay. Good answer.
I love
good
it.
Answer. Rhino, anything you want? What are you eating?
Anything I could want is honestly a sandwich also. I'm going to go with like a good Italian sandwich with also throw in some turkey on there as well. I want all the meat in the world. I want oil, lettuce, tomato, provolone, peppers, sweet peppers, hot peppers, banana peppers, all the peppers, and I'll be good.
That is a pretty good answer. I may fill you in on what I want. But we can't get our guests waiting. Our guy Jacob Chirkin, kind enough to join us here for his weekly spot. Jacob, good afternoon, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always good. Walk us through last night. You guys were tied 1-1 with Detroit until you weren't. That's kind of been the story this year, is if you let this Capitals team even a little bit of a glimmer of daylight, you're getting beat. That was so impressive, that flurry there in the third.
Yeah. It was a game. I felt like we controlled the puck a ton. I think we had a lot of ozone time. I think we would have liked to generate a few more, you know, high danger scoring chances, but, you know, we really controlled the pace of play for most of the game. And then I think in the third, we, you know, really wanted to try to just create more around their net. And we were able to, you know, have a really good third and, you know, put the game away. So it was a good effort.
You guys have been really good in the third period. Is there just a mentality there that going in, you're going to just lock in? Like, how is it that you are able to be such a good team in that period to finish out games?
I don't know. We just got a, you know, thing going in the third. I think, after the second, we always, you know, talk about how thirds are best. So there's something about it that, you know, we've had success that period all year, and it's almost something that gives us, you know, confidence, you know, after the first two going into, you know, you call it our favorite period, I guess. We just like to, you know, have an opportunity to go out and whether it's come back or from, you know, a deficit or, you know, close the game out. I just think we've done a good job of, you know, both of those circumstances this year. And it's a period we just seem to have a lot of confidence with.
Jacob Chirkin with us here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer in for GP. Brought to you by Trusted Insight from Trusted Insiders, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective Jacob, how hard is it? I mean, you guys are pros. Obviously, you're getting up every night, and you know, it's such a grind that the season you guys go through. But it's to your credit. You've done so well. You're so far ahead in terms of points in the division and in the conference. Is it? Do you find it's hard to kind of keep as sharp without teams pushing you as directly? Or is it, no, thank goodness we can kind of let our foot off the gas a little bit? Walk me through that.
No, I don't think our mindset changes. I think, you know, we still want to be, you know, playing our best hockey going to the playoffs. So, you know, there's still things we want to, you know, continue to improve at. And, you know, we had a stretch, you know, fairly recently where we didn't feel like we were playing very good hockey. So I think, you know, I think just continuing to, you know, focus on our process, and we know how hard it's going to be, you know, once the postseason comes around. So we want to continue to, you know, keep the foot on the gas and make sure we're sticking with our game plan and our process and playing the way we want to. So that way, come postseason, we're not letting any habits slip, and we're not, we're not letting anything slip. We're just, you know, sticking to the way we want to play, and it becomes, you know, habits you just don't have to think about. You just go out there and you do it on a consistent basis.
You mentioned game plan in there. Obviously, you're changing up, you know, game to game, whoever you're facing, but it seems like no matter who you face, whatever the style needs to be, whether it's a 2-1 game, whether you need to get up and score 6-7 goals to win, you're able to do that. How much is there in-game adjustments made by Coach Carbs, or is it kind of stick to your game plan and see if you can just find a way to break through at the end?
It all depends. It all depends on the night, on the game, on, you know, the way teams are, whether it's forechecking us or, you know, how they're defending the neutral zone. You know, there's always going to be some little adjustments. I think for the most part, you know, there might be a couple different schemes we want to run, but for the most part, it's really only a couple schemes throughout the whole season. So there's, you know, I'd say a few teams that play a little differently than most of the rest of the league. So, you know, I think it's just LA was a big one that was, you know, something you don't see very often, and they play very well in their system, and that was something that we, you know, didn't have a very good game, but, you know, we don't have to see them for the rest of the year, and if we do see them again, obviously be pretty late in the postseason. So, yeah, it's just something that, you know, you make these little minor adjustments when you need to, but yeah, for the most part, I mean, you know, when we're playing our style, we like to really, you know, impose our will and you know, kind of force the way we want to play down the other team and make sure we're dictating our pace and we're dictating, you know, the style of game that's being played.
Jacob, as you guys are getting ready every night to play, you mentioned there's an opponent skating against you. A lot of these teams are fighting for their playoff lives, like Detroit was, and certainly is here. But during some downtime, road trips, plane rides, you know, whatever, are you guys sort of maybe with a wandering eye thinking about maybe potential playoff matchups and teams you might be encountering?
Not yet. I mean, we obviously see how tight the race is in the East. Yeah. It just seems like it could be so many teams still. So, you know, it's not really something we're going to focus on until we get a little bit closer and you start to get a better idea of if it's going to be, you know, two or three teams. Right now, it's like five or six that could be in there. So, we're just a little far out. So not quite there yet, but it will be interesting to see, you know, how this race goes to the end here.
Last night, Tom Wilson gets his 30th goal of the season, first time he's ever reached the 30-goal mark. I'm curious, you've obviously been in the league for a little bit now. You know the reputation that Tom Wilson had around the league. It seems like he's changed that a little bit with his ability to score goals now. What's it been like being a teammate with him and your thoughts on him, your first year hanging out with him?
Oh, he's a great guy, great teammate. You know, a guy that is, he's the heart and soul guy. I mean, he's a guy that goes out every night, works his tail off and is willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think this year he's had an incredible year. It seems like he's, just really feeling it with the puck on his stick and those scoring chances. He's bearing down and really making sure he's, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that he gets. I think he's done such a good job this year of producing, because he brings so many other, you know, intangibles to our team and, you know, to the game each and every night. So, you know, to get that scoring touch from him has been huge. And, you know, he's just, like I said, a guy that leads each and every night.
Another guy about to join him in the 30-goal club is Alexei Protas. And one of my favorite things in sports, Jacob, just not just in hockey, but anywhere, is when you see a prospect and all of a sudden it clicks for that prospect and they're no longer a prospect. Now they're a badass or a baller or, in this case, a great hockey player. What have you seen in terms of him? I know you weren't around for all of his growth process, but this guy looks like the real deal.
Yeah, I wasn't around for his growth process, but from what I've heard, it's just been in, you know, a remarkable off season for Pro. I mean, he's really turning into just a dominant player out there in all three zones. I mean, he's so good defensively. He plays with, you know, probably the longest stick I've seen on a teammate, and he uses it so well defensively. And such a great wall player, making plays inside his zone to get pucks out of our end and get ourselves out of trouble. And obviously, you know, in the Ozone, he's special. Just a big frame, uses it really well in front of the net, and has such great scoring touch. I mean, he's so poised with the puck right now in those in tight areas where you got to, you know, find a way to get it in the back of the net. And he's just been extremely fun to watch and fun to be his teammate. He works at it. You know, you see him every day in practice. He's out there early. He's out there late. He's working on the little details, and it's certainly paid off for him. And, you know, he's a humongous part of this group.
Talking with Caps defenseman Jacob Chychrun here on Grant and Danny. Toby Altizer in for Grant today. Obviously, the big story around the team right now is Ovi's goal chase. I'm curious, outside, we talk about it seemingly every day. It's something that kind of involves, you know, the whole DMV area. Everybody's thinking about it every single day. For you guys on the team, is it something that gets brought up? Is it something you think about, or is it business as usual?
Yeah, no. I mean, we don't really talk about it. I mean, it's something that obviously it is such a huge deal. But in the room, you know, it's just you just don't think about it. You don't talk about it. You just, I think when you're out there and, you know, you got an opportunity to find him, you're going to find him. I think you'd probably be doing that whether he's on the chase or not, because mm-hmm. he's just, you know, best goal scorer of all time. And he, you know, that's the way he can really be a game changer. So you want to have the puck on a stick when he's, you know, in those scoring, you know, high danger, you know, areas. So, but, you know, for the most part, it's not something that we talk about or are obsessed with, like, you know, the media is. I think we just like to focus on what we got to do as a group and as a team. And you know, the rest of that stuff takes care of itself, you know, as it has for always his whole career. So, we're obviously excited for him and pulling for him, but it's not something that we talk about internally too much until we're asked about it each and every day, like you said, from the media. So that's really it.
That's our bet on that. But Jacob, it'd be one thing, and just this is my last one for you. If you guys were a rebuilding club, you know, or in last place in the Eastern Conference, and this was like ceremonial, you know, like when you go to a golf tournament, it's like, this guy was good 30 years ago. Here's the opening tee shot. It was kind of this gimmick. This is a dude that's still doing it at 39. It shouldn't be possible, but here it is happening. And it's not a gimmick. You guys are, you know, a President's Trophy contender, the best team in the Eastern Conference, and awesome. So it's like, if this was a gimmick, I'd understand it, but it's not. You guys are just making good hockey plays, and it happens that guy's still an elite goal scorer.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's unbelievable how, you know, the pace he's still scoring at. It's just he's still got that knack for finding the back of the net, and you know, it's been a, you know, obviously a big part of our success this year. I mean, you know, the clip he's scoring at is impressive, and especially for his age. And I mean, we're going to need that down the stretch too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think O's that kind of guy as well, that, you know, has that even second gear when it comes to, you know, postseason. I know he's a big, big boy, and I know he likes to throw his weight around. And I know, you know, even from watching him in the past, like, you know, come postseason, you see even another gear from him. So, it's exciting. You know, I think, we're, like I said, really focused on closing out this regular season with a, you know, strong finish and bringing our best into the postseason.
Jacob, appreciate the time, man. Always good to chat. Good luck against Philly tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, nice chatting, and we'll see you next week.
You got it, brother. Talk to you next week. There he goes. That is Jacob Chychrun. IT Cadre is trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. Love chatting each and every week with Capstar defenseman Jacob Chychrun. I think any one of these times he comes on is going to announce the extension that the Capitals signed
please,
it to.
Please.
I really like that. I promised Grant I wouldn't like pester him this week, but like next week we're going to have to ask him again about it. Could you please just sign here long term? You're great. I love watching that dude play. He has quickly turned into a Randy Duye favorite. A couple things speaking of favorites. 4 o'clock, Nationals opening day tickets. That's a week from tomorrow, FYI. So 1 week from tomorrow, opening day. You get to go if you win these tickets. We'll do that at 4. But next, I want to talk about this. The NFL did a masterful NFL media type bit. This is a class. They should teach this in schools. They leaked out a couple different proposals by some of the teams they'll be discussing with the rules committee. We'll go through those and talk about some of the rules that have to change in this league that I can't believe you guys are okay with. We'll do that next on The Fan. Double play, 3:45, Nationals tickets, 4 p.m. Your chance to win them at 4. We'll do it all week long. Then you can win them on the Junks at 8, B. Mitch and Finley at noon, and then us at 4 again. That's kind of how time works. We'll give you a chance to win them for next week. This just across the old wire. This is the new world we're in. So here's what happened. Adam Schefter got a message from the agent. This is the new way things are going. This is now you can't have a regular report without saying who negotiated the contract. I'm just telling you, as a consumer of the football, I love it. It's great. Consumer of the baseballs and the basketballs and the hockeys. I don't give a single buttered, flambéed, au jus, cooked bleep about who negotiated the deal.
Correct.
Take your money, agent. You deserve it. You did your job. I want to never come by here. I never want to hear who negotiated the deal again. Because here's what's happening. None of you, I promise you, I apologize. None of you guys care about this. I'll give you the actual news in a second. None of you care about this. This is a me thing. Give me a second for me. The new world we live in is if you want to get the Nuggets, the Denver Nuggets, if you want your Jokic, if you want your Jamal Murray, if you want your Michael Porter Jr., if you want your Aaron Gordon, if you want your Nuggets, you've got to scratch the back. Used to be you didn't have to do that. Used to be the most important thing was get the word out and whatever. Well, you know, it's just part of it. Now, you get Adam Schefter at the end of this tweet. Torrey Dandy and Commanders GM Adam Peters negotiated the deal. I assume Peters had something to do with it because it's with Washington.
Sure.
I don't care about the agent.
It's correct. Correct take.
They are not the star. The star is this. And now I'm going to get to the point. This is from Schefter. A reworked deal for Debo in D.C. The Local 53 are guaranteeing $17 million of Debo Samuel's previously non-guaranteed salary for this season, along with adding another $3 million worth of incentives, per sources. Samuel now will play this season as a one-year deal worth up to $20 million, including $17 million guaranteed. So there you go. There was the mystery. So Grant dismissed this a little bit. I said, hold on, I'm not sure we should totally eliminate the possibility here. There always seemed like something needed to be done regarding Samuels and his contract. Debo Samuel and his contract. I think that was part of the reason he and San Francisco were far enough apart. He probably wanted either something like this or more long-term deal. And maybe, I don't want to say a condition of the trade, but maybe part and parcel to the trade was to go from a non-guaranteed deal where he could, God forbid, slip on a pebble and tear his ACL and might not be entitled to anything. I don't know exactly how that works, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, non-guaranteed players don't like that. Nobody likes non-guaranteed. That's obvious. To shift to something that made sense for everybody, not necessarily signing him to a long-term deal, what was going to happen, this kind of solves that mystery, Tobes.
Yeah, I don't know. How does this affect his cap hit? Is it stays the same, I'm assuming?
I don't know. I wonder if now that it's guaranteed, it might increase it, no?
I'm not sure.
Dollar
maybe,
for dollar?
Maybe there's something. I remember there was some kicker in the deal that maybe they could push something to next year. So I'm curious about the cap hit. To me, when it comes to guaranteed, non-guaranteed, that doesn't affect me. Like, he's going to get his money. That's fine. I'm happy for him that he's due $17 million. He gets that $17 million. It's more so how does it affect the cap. And at this point, they're kind of, with some of the moves that they've made, now acquiring Tunsil and these different things, they don't exactly have the most cap space to work with anymore. They have enough to fill out the rest of the roster,
right,
but they're not going shopping in the big boy market anymore unless they were to go with Hendrickson and they could figure out an extension and make it work. But I don't know. This makes sense. You are going to have this guy, like you said, ease of comfort for Debo, make it something that he's more comfortable to play here. Great. I don't love the fact that he can essentially earn $20 million in a year for a guy that didn't go for 1,000 yards last year. But regardless, that's what he was going to get paid pretty much regardless.
Yeah, if he plays great, he'll earn it and you go no problem. We had this discussion a million times over with Kirk Cousins and franchise tags and whatever. And the thing I said at that point, and loosely applies here, was there are four different scenarios, big picture, where that could have gone. If he played great, you just sign him to a long-term contract, and it's awesome. You don't worry about it. You go, we got a guy. Who cares? I can't wait to pay him. If he sucks, great. We sign him to this one-year deal, this franchise tag thing. Ah, goodbye. Good riddance. Thank God we didn't tie ourselves Daniel Jones style to a long-term deal for a guy that isn't very good. No problem. But if he's in the middle, if he's mediocre, or if he's pretty good, it costs you great. That's the problem. That's kind of like this now, but in a much better way. If he doesn't play well, you go, that's a one-year deal. It's probably too expensive. $17 million against the cap, because that's what it was before this. Who knows if this lowers the cap number or not, TBD. But you go, that's a one-year deal. Worth the swing, no problem. If he plays great, $20 million's a bargain. And I don't know that he will. Maybe the truth will be somewhere in between. But to me, you don't have those negative scenarios you had. I don't know why Cousins came up in my mind, but just reminded me of the money and sort of the is it worth it, quote unquote, that discussion we had a billion times over. If he doesn't play well, fairly well, he's not tying you down for years. But if he plays great, $20 million's a bargain. I guess
yeah, 100%. I mean, it's something that for a fifth-round pick, paying him a little bit of money, you had extra money, who are you going to give that money to? Because that's the other thing, too, is like if you say, well, we could have had an extra $20 million to go spend. Well, where are you going to spend it? Does that mean that now suddenly you're willing to go get Trey Hendrickson? Does that mean you would have been in on somebody else? Does that mean you could have thrown an extra $5 million on a Ronnie Stanley so you could have got him instead of having to trade picks for Laremy Tunsil? Who knows? But for a fifth rounder, I don't mind doing it. I don't know that there was a lot of other moves that they're going to make with that money, so I'm totally fine with it. But at some point, too, we were talking last week about, are they giving up too many picks? Well, there's a fifth rounder if he doesn't turn out to be anything. Yeah, fifth rounders are a little bit of a crapshoot, but other people find stuff there all the time, right? Like you found George Kittle in the fifth round. You could find someone like that. You're willingly giving up on that. That's fine. It's not saying it's easy to do, but we'll see how he does this year.
So are you, as a quick side before we get into some of these rule changes, would you say you're bullish or bearish on his season? Sounds like you're not that excited.
I lean more bearish than bullish. Okay. I'm not saying he's not going to do anything, but if he gives me what he gave me last year, I'm fine. I'm not thrilled.
Same here.
I'm whelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not underwhelmed. I'm just right in the middle.
Does he go over 1,000 total yards?
No.
Does he go over 900 total yards?
No.
Then you're pretty bearish.
Yeah, I would say he goes 850-ish. Somewhere around there.
Give or take 700 receiving, couple hundred rushing yards.
Yeah, I think he gets involved. I think he gets his touches, but I think, you know, Terry's going to get a bulk of the receiving game. I don't think he does anything too crazy. So 800 yards, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so I think I'm more bullish. I mean, to me, his per game yardage totals for the first time last year dipped. You know what I mean? Like, now, it's skewed always because there's a couple games a year that he quote-unquote plays, but he didn't play.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where he's active and on the roster, and maybe he's a decoy, and, like, they targeted him once, and that's it. So those always kind of hurt. But if you just look at sort of the game logs over the years, the yards per reception didn't go down last year. The 13.1, he was up from 11.3 a couple of seasons ago. So he's telling you, like, there's still a skill set there. There's still something. He's never been a great man-to-man guy, never a great separator, never a great pure route runner. But if you look at him as a wide receiver, you're going to be disappointed. Look at him as a running back, you're disappointed. He's Weapon X. He's what Deadpool should have been in the Wolverine movie. That disappointed everybody, to be frank with you. I can't believe you have the merc with the mouth, not talk. Like, that's the whole point of Deadpool, is that he talks. He talks to everybody. Talks to you, talks to me, talks to the characters on the screen, and you sewed his mouth shut? What are you doing? There's no wonder you lost control of that studio and you lost control of the IP. You could have made billions of dollars. You got the talker guy in Wade Wilson, played by Ryan Reynolds. What does Ryan Reynolds do? Not eat fast food, hock aviation gin and Mint Mobile, and do a lot of abs and sit-ups, and he talks, and you don't let him talk in any of the movies? Anyway, trying to get Darius interested. Not at all. Nothing. Just sitting there staring at the computer. Didn't care at all. Throwing the chum in the water. Didn't bite
nothing.
Anyway, so to me, this is still a weapon, and nothing went right in San Francisco last year, and he's included in that. I think I'm sneaky bullish. I've been talking myself into not that 1770.
Sure.
Type yardage total.
What are you thinking? What's the ballpark?
I think he's north of 1,000 yards, dude.
You thinking so like 1050, 11, 1200? You thinking just barely over 1,000?
Little 1050 piece.
Okay.
I think it's 800 plus receiving yards, and I think it's, you know, 185 rushing yards, something like that.
What is the level that you have to get to that you feel, okay, we're good?
Last year. If I get last year, was pedestrian, then I'll be thrilled.
Correct. And that's why I say 800. Last year, 806 scrimmage yards. The previous year, he was at 1117. I don't think you're getting that. But if you're right around 800, where he went for 670 receiving yards last year, he went for 136 yards on the ground last year, if you get that, I'm totally fine with it. And that's kind of where I think he is. I just don't think that, in terms of what you're going to get in the passing game, he's not going to be your downfield threat. He's going to be someone that's going to rely on underneath screens and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe he's able to pop one of those. Yeah. I don't know that I see that.
Well, with all due respect to Olamide Zaccheaus, those are Debo's touches now.
Sure.
With all due respect to Diami Brown, most of the year until the playoffs, when he's like, you know what I am? I'm Jerry Rice 2.0. But before then, he was pedestrian Peter catching a tunnel screen a week. You know, that's Debo's now. Like, you now have a quote-unquote second receiver in that way, the way that Kingsbury and company use their guys. Terry McLaurin's running the route tree. Debo Samuel's running around the line of scrimmage, where he's motioning this way, he's motioning that way. You do a couple things off of that bubble screen, a couple things off of that tunnel, where everything looks like it's that action, and you throw back the other way. To me, there's like endless possibilities about a guy that can make a little on something simple and easy. Just, you don't even have to find the laces, Jaden. Get your snap, flip it to him, and now you have an offensive play. They could do that with Eckler when he was healthy last year, and adding Samuel to that, to me, is a miracle mix.
So I think that you can unlock Debo if you can do one of two things. I need a run game that's actually effective. If it's B-Rob, fine. I'd prefer an explosive running back in the draft. Or I need a speedy receiver. I need a legit number two that I trust. Whether it's Isaiah Bond out of Texas, you get him in the draft, because I think that's where they're going to get it. Right now, the little gimmicky guy running around, I don't think is as effective, because you're lacking still in some of the other resources. If you were to get a guy, though, that you now trust as a true wide receiver too, or you get an explosive running back that I have to respect that, and now you're stretching me horizontally while also I have to worry about you penetrating me up the middle, then I think it's a little bit different. But that's why I'm a little bit down right now, because I just think adding him with Terry, he's going to be an upgrade over the guys you mentioned, no doubt. But that goes from like a 2 yard gain or a no gain to like 6 yards, 7 yards. And that helps, obviously.
Right.
But I don't think it suddenly turns into 40 and 50 yard touchdowns.
So I smell what you're cooking. And in general, if I had my druthers, I would do that. Like, I would have tried to find it, whether it was free agency, whether it's via trade or, you know, pre Debo. I would go, where is my speed guy coming from? Maybe it's a draft pick. Honestly, maybe I don't necessarily need to be refined. Do you run a 4.3? Are you good on the track? Let's have you offset the line of scrimmage and you run as far and fast as you can to terrify defenses to make them back off to create space underneath, which is where I want to be. Ideally, that's what I would do. So who knows if that happens or not. But again, I just sort of look at it this way. Last year, Olamide Zaccheaus and Diami Brown, 75 catches, 814 yards between them. I got a more effective player than both those guys, with all due respect to them, in a similar role. I'm not saying he gets all 75 catches, but that to me is the whole point. That's why you do it. So you don't have to go, all right, I got to figure somebody out opposite Terry. What are we going to do? This week I'll try Luke McCaffrey to give him 2 targets. Or this week Zaccheaus will do it. Or Jameson Crowder is going to do it. Like, those 3 guys made up this role that's now 1 guy. So I think that 800 all-purpose yards thing, if he's just really has lost a step or whatever the analogy you want to use or the evaluation you want to use, I still think just at a floor, he gets most of those touches and ends up with those kind of yardage totals. That's not a crazy way to think about it, is it?
I think that's where I'm at. Like, I think you're thinking that he's maybe going to be better than last year. I think he's the same. And if that's the case, he's an upgrade over what you had, but he's still not Deebo Samuel from 3-4 years ago where you're like, holy crap, I got to have that guy.
Right.
I don't think he's that guy anymore. I just don't.
No, and I think that's okay. He's not available if he is. He's signed to a huge deal if he's still 17-70 guy. But yeah, a lot of wear and tear. But it's interesting. It's a good point. Anyway, Deebo Samuel back. We already knew he was here, but they restructured his contract. More guaranteed money. We'll endeavor to find out what the deal is with the cap hit, if that changes. I don't know that it does. It was already just over 17 mil. I can't imagine that changes when you guarantee money.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would go down. But again, you'll notice about me, I'm a lot of things. A capologist, not one of those things. So we'll see if we can track that down for you. Oh, thank you very much. I do, but not about that. Anyway, the point is, Double Play's next. Beltway Blitz at 4, and this is an and situation. Your chance to win Nationals opening day tickets. Stay with the program. Your chance to win Nationals tickets 13 minutes from right now. Not game 12, not game 41. No. That's your opening day Nationals tickets. That's what we're giving away in a matter of moments. Also, chance to win Wiz tickets this evening at 6 p.m. right before we get out of here. I want to remind you that there's no better place to catch every game with us than Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. Join 106.7 The Fan's Brian Mitchell and JP Finley and Grant and Danny this Thursday and Friday for the opening round of the men's tourney. We're doing our shows live at Tap with mouthwatering game day bites. Tons of TVs. Your tournament headquarters is waiting only at MGM National Harbor. And this right here is called the double play. We do this every day at 3:45, give or take. On Fridays, we do winning off the field, but that's a semantics thing. I'm just telling you this is what we do and how we do it. And it's what's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Tobes, I know you got one. I got a small one. I'll do this thing and then get out of your way. Pick up hoops tonight. It was Tuesdays, guys. Just update your calendars.
Mm.
Okay? The group has moved to Wednesdays. Our guy is just a star. He knows how to rent and reserve gym space. If you gave me 1,000 hours... and said your only job is to get a group of 12 out-of-shape 40-somethings together to play pickup hoops on a Tuesday at a gym in Fairfax County, I couldn't do it. He, like, talks to the parks department. I don't know if he emails people. I don't know what he does. But he rented the gym for us, which is awesome. So everyone hook him up with a little bit of Skrilla. But it was Tuesdays in the winter. Now we're in the spring season, Wednesday nights. It's my first time playing in a few weeks. I had a conflict. Then I had the sickies. And, oh, you know what the conflict was? Vasectomy. They were like, don't play pickup basketball. Don't do anything. Sit there with your feet as the. So I missed a couple of weeks, but I'm back tonight. I'm nervous about my game. My back's a little sore already. I'm concerned. I'm going to wear my back brace, I think, along with my other braces that I wear. So I use my sausage casing on the thighs.
Okay.
I have the calf sleeve. I'll probably have to do the knee saver for my right knee. It's bugging me a little bit. And then I've got this copper fit thing that I put around my waist, like a cummerbund, that I tighten up so that it put lessens the strain on my back when I land. Because when you jump as high as I do,
sure,
and you land, it's extra impactful.
Sure, yeah. I played basketball the first time in a long time, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still feeling it.
Are you really?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, not great.
Now, where are you going to carry your cane? Because I'm not.
Now,
it seems like you're missing something.
Now, that's one of those moves that I bring it and then I drop it like I'm, what's that? What's the dude's name? Sam? Oh, it's killing me. I couldn't pull his name. He's hilarious. He's every time he goes on Jimmy Fallon, he's an actor. You've seen him in a million things. He's got like a dancing background. So he'll do a thing where he limps out with his cane and then he uses it to like twirl and dance, like pretend that he's sandbagging. It was before you guys started doing the thing where you're like, you young people, when you pretend you're having a heart attack and then you do like the chest pump type dance, that thing. He would do that before you guys did that. So anyway, I'm very nervous. My hope, frankly, he's a nice guy, is that Ryan is not there. Not our corporate Clary Ryan, but there's a dude named Ryan who's good, who clearly played basketball. And sometimes I have to cover him, and I can't anyway. But when I'm in better shape and playing a little bit,
severely
it's like easier.
Compromised, yeah.
If he's there, he's going to kick my ass. Unless we're on the same team, then I hope Ryan's there. Does that make sense? If I have to go against him, I don't want that. There are a couple guys that, like Jerry moves. Oh, have you seen Jerry run around? It's unbelievable. Jerry's a road runner.
Jerry is a bucket too.
Yeah, well, Jerry runs. He's like a point guard. He's an honest to goodness point guard. He has game. Craig's a good athlete. He's relentless. But the other guys are kind of like my speed and my pace. So it's like if I've got to go against those guys, it's harder because they're in much better shape than me. But it's really about Ryan. If I'm on Ryan's team, I'll have fun. If I have to go against Ryan, it's gonna suck.
Yeah, that's tough. We don't want Ryan. We don't.
But we do if we're on the same team.
Yeah, on the same team, we want Ryan.
Yeah,
I don't want to go against Ryan.
So Ryan, if you're out there, let me know if you're coming. Like, if you want to be on the same team, let me figure it out. That's my double play. Tobes, you go.
So have you watched Paradise yet? Have you watched that show? So first of all, it's on Hulu, and I didn't realize I had Hulu. I hear everyone's talking about it. We were talking about it in the producer room a couple of days ago, and just people bringing it up. You got to watch Paradise. My cousin had brought it up, and I didn't know that I had Hulu. So I kind of assumed I was going to be out on this, Danny, because I'm not paying for Hulu. Like, it's a one series. I don't care. Turns out I do have Hulu through, like...
Do you have Disney Plus?
Yeah, I guess so. And, like, Spotify and all that.
So I've got like a mini version through Disney Plus. It's like, oh, I have Hulu. Then I went to watch one of the Hulu shows, and I was like, you don't have that. You got your JV Hulu, bro.
So I don't know how it worked, but it turns out I have Hulu. So I was like, well, I guess I'll watch Paradise. And it's fantastic. It is so good. It's not normally my style of show. I'm not going to spoil it. It's not normally my style of show, but it is so good. So good. And it's got everything you could want. It's got whodunit. It's got all this stuff in it. And it's just, it throws so many curveballs at you. It's got so much drama in it. It's fantastic. The acting is really, really good. The storyline is good. The plot is good. It's the first episode you're watching it, and you think, oh, I know where this is going.
Oh, dude, Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah.
Is the lead actor.
Yeah. You're like, I know where this is going. I've seen this before. I'm excited to watch it, but I've seen it. No, even in your wildest dreams, you could not figure out where this thing is going. It is insane.
What's kind of our setup here? Without giving anything away, just give me the pitch, the show pitch.
So
like pretend I'm like the corporate guy. Pretend I'm the Ryan Clary of the network, and I'm like, I heard Toby got a show. You're the showrunner. Tell me about it. What's it called? Para what?
Paradise.
Paradise. Okay, wow me. Go ahead.
So there's a president who hires a security detail, and this security detail stays with him after his presidency, and he basically has to protect him from numerous threats which come his way. And it is someone who is incredibly, let's say the president is very, what's the word I'm trying to look for? He's controversial.
Oh.
He's someone that's very charismatic.
Oh.
Someone that is very interesting, but someone that is very, very controversial. And so he has numerous enemies. And this bodyguard has to protect him from these things in a world after his presidency. And it's very intriguing. Very intriguing. It's not anything that I would usually watch. When you get the curveball, you know what I'm talking about. If you watched it, you're whoa.
How did you find it? Like, have you heard about it?
I've heard my cousin talk about it. I heard Anthony talking about it to Darius, saying you need to watch it. And I watched it. Knew something was crazy was going to happen, still caught me way off guard.
So when Anthony talks about something being good, I immediately think it's terrible. Right? Is that fair?
That's totally fair, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Darius, you meant to say something about Paradise?
Well, yeah. So I haven't watched it yet. It's something that's on the docket for me to watch soon, the Darnell docket. But it's kind of been one of those word-of-mouth shows, because whatever it is that happens at the end of the first episode is just one of the most jaw-dropping things in TV right now.
Okay.
That's the way that everybody's finding out about the show.
Yeah.
Everybody's finding out the end of episode one is where just things are just unbelievably crazy from there on.
It is just so good. It is so well done, because if you would have put what happened at the end of episode one at the beginning, I probably would have been out. Probably would have been out, because it's not my style of show. But the fact that you put it at the end and it looked like a show that would be something that I'd normally watch. You want to talk about protecting the president. You want to talk about being Secret Service. Great.
Yeah, it's like I've seen that kind of.
I've seen it. It's interesting. It throws you a curveball so good you've never seen that kind of pitch before.
So Sterling K. Brown, who's like, that dude can act. Like, that is a really good actor. What's his butt? James Marsden is in it.
Yeah, he's so good. He's the president. He's so good. So good.
But I hate when this happens. This is my territory. You know what I mean? Like, I do the shows that are worth watching. Mm-hmm. And I hate when one slips by my radar and I'm the last to hear about it. That's like when other people have read the book and I haven't read the book, I can't stand that. I need to be the guy that read the book so I can tell you about the difference between the book and the show.
And I hate it because I need someone to talk about it with, because this is a show that just, it blows your socks off when you see the change, and then you're hooked because you're like, well, what the heck? How did that come to be? And so it just throws you a curveball so bad that it just hooks you. It's, I believe, 8 episodes.
Yeah.
End of episode 1 just really pulls you in, and then the rest of you are like, I got to keep watching it. And
well, apparently it's already coming back for second season.
Yeah, like, and it's going to be so good.
It's done so well. All right, so do I have it even if I have that JV Hulu?
I'm not sure. I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Where it's like, you got Disney Plus. Hey, man, you didn't do anything different, but you kind of have Hulu now, but not really.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I would check it out. If not, we'll find a way you can watch it.
All right, I'll look at it. I'll look at that. Good double play, Tubbs. You brought me a show. All right. We're going to give away Nats tickets. Beltway Blitz is coming up. Sam Fortier wrote an article in the Washington Post, kind of a deep dive into a bigger picture theme of the local Washington 53's offseason and their moves. And he drew some pretty interesting correlations, conclusions. Want to go through that with you guys in the 4 o'clock hour. Blitz is next. Chance to win Nats opening day tickets. Stay with us.